fourth parak of the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim, Freilich and Chanuk to everyone. Chassam Sofer says before we start that this Ella makes a very big mistake. They think that Chanuk is the time of latkes and dreidel. And he says that there's a big mistake going on, and I believe that there are people in this yeshiva that make that mistake also. It's maybe the Ma'atim, but it seems like it's the Rabbim Biyad Ma'atim over here. But that they think that Chanukah is about latkes and dreidel and about just relaxing and mesibas and things like that. Chassam Sofer says that Chanukah is a very, very auspicious time. It's a very special time. A person can accomplish more during Chanukah than any other time of the year. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu Soides HaTorah on Chanukah. Soides HaTorah, the secret of Torah. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim 40 days and 40 nights and he got Torah. But the Soides of Torah, the secrets of Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu got on Chanukah. And Shlach Kodesh says that the same way we know that Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu for Torah Shebechsav, that Chanukah is Zman Matan Torah Seinu for Torah Shebalpeh. That's the Menorah and the Aron. The Aron is connected Shavuos. Chanukah is connected the Menorah, which is Torah Shebalpeh. It's a time to learn. It's not a time to play around, honestly. Now, the Yetzer Hara gets involved, and that's what happens. But you should just realize that if a person really wants to capitalize on an opportunity, now's the best time to do it. The Shlach HaKadosh writes about it. Many Svarim HaKadoshim write about the special school that there is. During Chanukah, there's an Aura Gonus, there's a hidden light. And a person can tap into that light on Chanukah. So we have to try our hardest to learn as much as we can over Chanukah. And you have to kind of like avoid what else is going on, right? It's a Zman of Rabin Biad Ma'atim. So there, maybe we're, you know, there's people over here that you'll say, well, look at everyone else out there and they're all, you know, just having good times and blah, blah, blah. But we have to do what we know. And you know, you have opportunities. There's amazing opportunities during Chanukah. To be able to understand things you can't understand during the rest of the year. The light's hidden. Chanukah comes out. The hidden light comes out. And the person wants to tap into something that wasn't graspable. Now all of a sudden he can get it. So here we are. We're learning Chovetz Talmidim. We're up to Perek Dalet. Perek Revi'i. Machos Ha'atzlus V'Serapus V'Trufosen. We're speaking about a lot about understanding that a person is capable of facing his insufficiencies. He's capable of facing his weaknesses. Because if you believe in yourself, then you can do that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, and a little bit about how it has to do with Chanukah. Ha'atzlus hi ha'machalo ha'yoyser mazika v'yoyser metzuya b'na'ar. The worst thing is atzlus. I don't have a really great translation for atzlus. We're just going to use the word lazy. I don't have a better translation for that. Another translation other than lazy? Atzlus. Lethargic, lazy. It's the worst. Yoyser mazika, the yoyser metzuya, and it's also the most common. Avol kamoi kol ha'chesroinus ken gam hi shoyne beinai lenai. Just like all the chesroinus, there's different measures. Different people have it different ways. Yesh nar shu atzel gomer. There is the epitome of atzel. There's like the laziest person. He like really perfected laziness. Oyev lishoin harbe. He loves to sleep a lot. V'loleches batel and do nothing. V'chol avoido lav lamasa. Anytime you have to work for him, it's considered to be a masa. It's a burden. Teirutzim shoinim loy al kol davar. He has all different types of answers for everything. K'mo shamar pasuk. The pasuk says amar otzel. The lazy one says. Shachal baderech, ari ben rochovitz. There's probably construction on that road. There's probably dangerous things on that road. Why should I bother going? It's not worth going. It's probably the Amar Otzel. The Otzel's got lots of truths, and why he's not going? It's probably not. Tamid hu tzadik be'enov, kevon shemolei tirutzim. He's always righteous in his own eyes because he's got answers for everything. Anyone that's bigger than him, that is working hard, rolled up his sleeves, he's got this issue, he's got that issue. In order that he should see himself as being righteous. He's not embarrassed. He's not jealous of them. He doesn't work like them. Because look at them, they have this issue and that issue. Even if he gets strong for, you know, every once in a while, and he gets like the firmness to work. Ad mehira yileh, it quickly peters out. Rak shavua, o yishvuayim, a week, 2 weeks. Min hascholas hazman shel choyrev, the beginning of winter's man. O lakayetz loymed hu ba'asmada, he learns for like 2 weeks ba'asmada. Velo yoyser, and that's it, not more than that. V'im chas v'shalom, yeish b'cha mido ra zeh, and if you chas v'shalom have this terrible mido, that you're lazy. Akor no yisad mehira, you better get rid of it fast. Akor v'shorosh achareo, you should have to uproot it and go after its roots. Ma'usu bezuyi, this is a ma'us, it's disgusting, it's lowly. Kirekev hatzamais, it's like rot in your bones. As a kol hu mechale, it will consume everything. So I want to speak a little bit about laziness for a few moments, but he's saying laziness is terrible. I believe that there are two different types of laziness. One laziness, and maybe that's the one that he's talking about more over here, is a person who's lazy just because he doesn't like to work, he doesn't like to move. He just loves sitting still. I mean, naturally, the body the gravitational pull just keeps us, a body that's not in motion will stay not in motion. The person just stays doing nothing. There's something called just embracing the idea of working. People just, they have this thing that the less you have to move your body, the better you are. Someone was telling me about someone that I know, that he has in his garage, the car, when you park the car, you can press a button and it turns around by itself. So that way you don't have to chas v'shalom back out of your, because then you have to turn your neck while you're driving. This way you don't have to chas v'shalom turn your neck when you're driving. You couldn't, so you have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars so that your car can have can rotate. So that's great. And that's like, wow, this guy is so lucky. He doesn't have to turn his neck. That's what you have to spend your money on? Really? Seriously? The Truma Sadeshin speaks about, back in the old days, they used to have a table. There's a name for that table, where you can spin the table. A lazy Susan? There it is, lazy Susan. It was probably created by someone named Susan. And she made a lazy Susan. You just spin the table as you get the svarim. He was very, very upset about it. And he's talking about how that's the reason why people don't have godless in Torah anymore. Now, I don't think he means because, because they didn't work towards it. Because you could work in learning. It's just like the attitude of everything is just easy. Everything should just come easy. Everything should be, and everything is comfort. And comfortable is so important. You know who needs to be comfortable? Babies need to be uncomfortable. Babies cry whenever they're not comfortable. Something's uncomfortable and they cry. They're crybabies. There's the princess and the pea. The princess, I don't know if you know the story, but there's a princess who she couldn't sleep because she was uncomfortable. So her father kept on getting her more and more mattresses until she had like 10 mattresses and she's still not comfortable. He's like, hey, what's wrong over here? Until they noticed underneath the bottom mattress, there's a pea. There's a little pea that's making her bed not straight. So she can't sleep. She can't sleep because it's uncomfortable. And everything has to be just... the epitome of comfort, and there's nothing to, work is not considered to be embraced. We have to learn to embrace work. Realize that work is something that's good. It's not bad. A person working is healthy. Chazal tell us the total opposite. Adam le'omel yulad. We're here on this world. We were born. We were born to work. Work is actually considered to be an advantage. It's considered to be something that we admire, a person that works hard. And that was once upon a time the American dream. The American dream was you work hard in order to support your family. The American dream wasn't that you should sit back and do nothing. The American dream is people that were working really, were hardworking people. And because we've become so comfortable, that became a lot of our culture. There's an interesting quote here. I'm quoting you. This is a Goyish quote. It's from someone named Calvin Coolidge. Calvin Coolidge, those of you who don't know, Yaakov Weinstein will tell you who he is. Who is he? One of the presidents of the United States of America. Calvin Coolidge said the following thing. He said, work is not a curse. It is the prerogative of intelligence, the only means of manhood, and the measure of civilization. We have to work. It's a measure of civilization. How civilized are we? How hard do we work? It's the only means of manhood. It's the only way a person can be a man is if a person learns how to work. So the truth is that he was mechavein to a pasuk. Adam lo amal yulad. It's not a curse. The curse is b'zeis apecha toicha lechem. The curse is you have to work for your food. Instead, we should be working and learning. We should be rolling up our sleeves. And we should be working hard in our learning. Now, somehow people get this opinion that if it's hard for me, then it's bad. Why is it so hard for me to learn? What's the problem? It's hard for everyone. By the way, I just want you, just a memo. It's hard for everyone to learn. Everyone has a hard time learning. It's just their hard happens in different places. And don't think that anyone's different. Don't think that Reb Chaim Kanievsky is not working hard in his learning. He's working very hard. And he has things that really bother him that he doesn't understand. Reb Kiva Eger, if you read his Ksavim, Reb Kiva Eger, Agoin Reb Kiva Eger, you read his Ksavim, he writes there the pain that he has by not understanding. Everyone's working hard. So what's the difference, really? I used to live by Or Sameach. I used to live right behind Or Sameach, and I used to daven there on a regular basis, and I knew a lot of the boys there. And at Or Sameach, like, you know, you've hit gold if you, like, made it to the mirror. It's like, made it to the mirror. You know, that's like chashiv, right? Now, we all know, right, there's some good boys in the mirror, but, you know, you made it to the mirrors, you know, that's nice, you know. But if you're in the mirror, if you make it to brisk, that's chashiv. Well, let me tell you a little bit about brisk, my friends, okay? There's good guys there, and most of them are pretty bright, but there's definitely better than that. And if you make it to Panovich, and if you make it to becoming a Magid Shir, psh, he's a Magid Shir, become Rosh Hashiva, psh, wow. Well, let me tell you about Rosh Hashiva. There's a lot that I don't know, and I struggle with a lot of things. I struggle. I'm struggling the same way the guy in Or Sameach is struggling. What's the difference? What's really the difference? He says, yeah, but I'm struggling on reading the words. Okay, you're struggling, I'm struggling. There's a lot of things I don't understand that I like knock my head against the wall and I'm trying to figure out. Just like with Kivager. Kivager was the same way. He didn't understand everything. Well, through the generations, we're all struggling. Do you know Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to Shemayim, you know, for 39 days and 39 nights, he did not understand a thing. He just sat there, struggling. That's all he was doing. Trying to chop it, wasn't going in. He was trying and trying and trying until it was like the end. He's like, Hashem, I gotta go. It's like, you know, it's time for me to go. Like, what's gonna be over here? So I'm like, okay, I'll give it all to you for matana. And that's it. Everything matana. So Hashem and Shmuel asked, like, why did he do that? Why he's gonna give it to matana? Just give it right away. He's like, this is a lesson for all of us. You struggle, so did Moshe Rabbeinu. Toiras Moshe, that guy, it's not a guy, Malach Elokim, that guy, he struggled too. We all struggle. That's life. Life is struggle. And it's not going to end, by the way. If it does end, you're in trouble. Rabbi Beryl Wine should be well. He often told over a story about Tom Carvel. So you guys might not know, I don't know exactly where Carvel is holding nowadays. There was a huge soft ice cream chain. It was huge, called Carvel Ice Cream. It was like all over the country. Everyone loved Carvel Ice Cream. That was back in the day. And it was a big thing. And Tom Carvel decided he's going to retire. He built up this major dynasty. He retired. Within 6 months, he died. So, Beryl Wine said, because, like, how much golf can you play right in your life? The guy was going crazy. This is a man who worked every single day of his life. He's like, you know, it's time for me to hang on my cleats. Don't do that. Don't do that. A man is meant to work. Now, work does not necessarily mean you have to work, you know, in a store or in a factory. You can roll up your sleeves and start working right now. There's something called Toirasoi Umnasoi. Our work is in Toira. We're sitting here working. We're hardworking people. We're supposed to be. Toira is not supposed to be like, you know, that a person's in like early retirement. That's not what Yeshiva Bachar is supposed to be. That's not what Kotel is supposed to be. We're supposed to be hardworking people. And it's something we're supposed to embrace. We're supposed to learn that hard work is something that's something to look up to. Something to a person supposed to try to aspire to work harder. So that's one thing that we have this issue that people just don't like working. They're just not interested in working. They're just lazy, and it goes all the way across the board and everything. They're just lazy people. You give them a choice of going on a hike or staying in bed. Stay in bed. give them a choice of playing a, you know, a game of ball or just lying in bed. Lie in bed. And especially nowadays where people do so much on screens, you don't have to move. Like, you know, Baruch Hashem, we bought our kids Hanukkah presents. Now, I know there's no real makar for Hanukkah presents, and it probably came from Hanukkah Harry, and it's a takeoff of other stuff, but we do it anyway. What can I tell you? I mean, you give them Hanukkah Geld, you could get Rav Gamliel gives Hanukkah Geld, there's other people give Hanukkah, I gave Hanukkah Geld last night to some of the Bachrim. But, okay, presents is, it's Shava Kesef Kekesef. Shite. It's good. So we gave our kids toys. There are things that you actually, like, use. Nothing with a screen. It's not like something, a cartridge, something that you sit in front of a screen. The kids today, so much of what they're doing, they're just zoning out. They don't do anything. You're not proactive. You know, when you read, you have to at least, like, imagine things. You have to read. When you're looking at a screen, you do nothing. You're totally passive. You just sit there. And when you play video games, so, you know, they have this, I know I'm behind the times, but they have this thing called the Wii, so you could actually, you know, you could play tennis in your house. Like, why don't you go play tennis? Like, no, I play on a screen with a fake racket, with a fake, why don't you actually, go play tennis? Like, what do you have to, imagine playing tennis? No, we don't do that anymore. We do everything on screens. We don't go anywhere. We don't do anything. We just stay in the comfort of our home. So we're losing a little bit the work ethic that existed. That's one thing. But there's something else which I think is very much Hanukkah oriented. Because I want you to know, Hanukkah, why did this whole thing happen with Yevanim? Why did it happen? Why the whole Yevanim thing, where they come from, why are they here? So the Bach says it happened because Klal Yisrael is Nisrashel Ba'avoida. Klal Yisrael is being lazy. Doesn't mean they weren't coming to davening. They were coming to davening as late, you know, schlepping. You know, nisrashel ba'avodah. They were going through the motions, but it was like, you know, it was very schleppy. They were very, very schleppy. And I think it's like a coincidence that it happens like right now in a winter's man, you know, where I've noticed a little schleppy happening in Shiva a little bit. And that's kind of because you're like, hello, you know, that's what this whole thing happened because we were being schleppy. Nisrashel ba'avodah. That means they were being lazy. His rashlus. Where does it come from? Where does his rashlus come from? So I tell you, I was in the car with my kids on Sunday. We went on a tour. I went to a PTA with my kids, and one of my rabbeim of the kids said, you know, take your kids on a tour. The kids needed to go with their father, and some time with their father. So, Baruch Hashem, we had the off Shabbos, so I was able to take my kids on a tiyul. We went on a tiyul together. So in the car, we were listening to Rabbi Stark Shmuzim. Some of the old, old Shmuzim, Rabbi Stark. They're not for public, you know, got like an internal, you know, disc that doesn't let be copied or anything like that. It's an old, old Rabbi Stark Shmuzim. So he says over a diak there, it's an amazing diak. I think it's from a Volva, if I remember correctly. He says the following thing. Listen to this fascinating diak in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Pesachim, it's a Gemara in Darm. There was a father who wanted to get his kids to to get moving. It was time for Karban Pesach. And they obviously did not live that close to Yerushalayim. So he said, whoever gets to Yerushalayim first, I'm going to shecht for him. And he's going to be part of my chabura, and it's on me. Race. It's a challenge. Who could get first to Yerushalayim? Who got there first? His daughters. Now, that's a rule in general. Girls seem to be much frummer and much like more responsible than the boys are. That's what it just seems to be that way, right? But the Gemara says, Nimtu, the banois zrizois. The banois were zrizim. Banim shfelim. Shfelim. Now, the word we would imagine they would use is atzlonim. Nisrashlim, Atzlonim, something like Shvelim means they were like Shafel. A Shafel is like a person that has low self-esteem, a low self-image, low Shiflos. Why did it say Shvelim? So Rabbi Stark said over Dachzuch from Volba, an amazing word. He said, you know where it comes from, Atzlus? Atzlus comes when a person doesn't have self-esteem. You know why people come late to davening? Because what's my davening already anyway? What difference does it make? I do daven, I don't. You think Hashem really cares? You think it really makes a difference? It's like so important, my davening. The person has that attitude, so it's like he doesn't really believe in himself. If we really believed that our davening was going to make a difference, life and death, there are boys in this room, in this yeshiva, that have a friend who's in a coma. You would never ever come late if you knew that this person's life was depending on your tefillah. There are many of us that know people that need shidduchim, that we care about them a lot. If we really believed that our tefillah is going to make a difference, we would daven our hearts out. But, okay, what's my tefillah already anyway? What's it worth? What am I going to accomplish? That's the problem. And the Medrash even speaks about big, big people. It speaks about Reuven. Reuven had this whole thing, this struggle with his brothers. He really wanted to take Yosef out. He was not okay with this whole thing that was happening. And the Medrash says, if Reuven would have known that it was going to be written about him in the Torah, what happened? He would have put Yosef on his shoulders and marched him back to his father. You know what that means? That means that Reuven, if he would have known how important he really was, I could make a difference in the destiny of the world. World destiny. He would have carried Yosef on his shoulders and said, we're going home to dad. But sometimes we're like, okay, I am listening to music. I'm not. I'm watching this. I'm not. I'm coming to davening. I'm not. I'm at Seder. I'm not. I'm batzling. I'm not. Okay. So does it really make such a big difference? Because do we really know who we are? Do we really know how important we are? We don't. If you'd really believe in yourself, you'd be very zaris. And that's really what Hanukkah, that was the problem with Hanukkah. We didn't respect ourselves enough. We didn't have enough respect. And come the Yevanim, and the Yevanim say, you know something? You are no different than us. You don't respect yourself? Guess what? We don't respect you either. You're Goyim. No Bris Milah, because Bris Milah is the difference between Jews and Goyim. No, no. There's no difference between me and you. They didn't want to kill us. You want them to want to kill us. They just want us to make Yitmas Yavnim. Just be like us. That's it. We're all the same. You're no different. You're a guy just like us. You can listen to the same music we listen to. You're going to read the same books we read. You're going to watch the same movies we watch. You're going to be just like us. You're going to be a prasta guy. You want to put a beanie on your head? Go ahead. Doesn't bother us. Just make sure it's got like a Nike emblem. We'll be fine. That's all they want. That's all they want. They want to kill us. They just want us to be the same. But we're not the same. We don't listen to the same music as them. Because it's beneath us. We're bigger than that. We're better than that. We're more important. It makes a big difference what we're listening to and what we're looking at. It makes a big difference. In Shemayim, it makes a huge difference. And they're writing all of this down. And you could alter the destiny of the world based on what is going to happen tonight with you. Where are we going? Where is Klal Yisrael headed? Deeper into the Gullus, or are we on our way out? And that depends on you. What are you going to do? And a person that believes in himself, he can't be lazy. This is way too much going on over here. This is way too much. This is too big of a day. It's too big of a time. I'm too important. There's so much riding on what happens over here. So much riding on this tefillah. I've told this story before, maybe you've heard it, maybe not. It's in a book, there's a book that I about stories about kids, amazing book, amazing story. There's boys in the yeshiva. It was an Israeli yeshiva, and they wanted to play a practical joke with one of their friends, because I guess they were bored, and this was like a good idea. So they told their friends, they made up these two guys. So they went to one of the guys and they said to him, you know, there's someone that I know, my cousin, who's like mamish not well, and they really need a refuah, and their mamish doctor said that it's like really bad situation. Do you mind davening? They gave him the name and everything you do, davening. So he said, sure, daven. And they came back to the next day and they said, wow, thank you so much. You have no idea, a miracle happened last night. Mamish got better overnight. Doctor said it's a miracle. You're a miracle worker. Huh? Okay. The other guy comes to him a day later. He says, you know, I heard that you daven. You know, maybe you could daven. You know, there's one of my cousins really needs a shidduch very, very badly. And you know, you should daven. Give him a name. Sure, daven. comes back a few weeks later, Mamash a miracle, she became a Kala, you're a miracle worker, and they started like spreading the news that this guy's a miracle worker. He's a Bachar Yeshiva, a regular guy. And they started spreading it. So all of a sudden people started going over to him, like asking him, could you daven for, you know, for this, could you daven for that? And all of a sudden he's got this whole list, and the guy's davening his brains out, and he's like, you know, became like this big Baba, this big davener. Anyway, they decided it's time for them to, like, you know, to let him know, let him in on the trick. They say to him, say, listen, buddy, I just want you to know the whole thing is fake. By the way, it's no koyach tevila. You're a regular guy, okay? Your davening means nothing more than it. It's just not. It's just all things wrong. It's a joke. It's a joke. He said, no, it's not. No. I can do it. They're like, no, it's a joke. He's like, no, it's not. And by the way, it's not. They did him the biggest favor they could possibly do, because if you really believe that your davening makes a difference, then you'll daven your heart out, and it will! It will! So I want to tell you what I do from this story. Anytime I daven for someone and something good happens, you know what I say? That was me. That was me. I did it. 100%. You know why? Because the next time I go daven, it's like, my davening is going to make a difference. Instead of thinking to myself, okay, the davening doesn't help. It does help. And your davening helps also. And the only difference between you and Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in my mind, there's only one difference. He knows his davening makes a difference. You're not sure. You believe it? Then your koyach tefillah is amazing. Why? Hashem doesn't love you? He doesn't love you? So you daven your heart out. He doesn't have enough mercy for you? You're not important enough? You are. So just daven that way. Daven your heart out, and you'll see what happens. And we can do that. And learn that way. And your Shmiras HaMitzvah should be that way. And I believe that is really the lesson of Hanukkah. You got five people, five Jews. They took on the most powerful army in the entire planet. Five people. But they had the guts to do it. They had the courage to do it. And they said, you know what? We're going to do what's right. And we're going to be successful. They weren't lazy. Can't be lazy when you're that way. You just got to believe in yourself. So I think that this is what we're saying over here about trying to fight off laziness. There's two things. One thing is we have to learn how to admire work ethic. Being a hardworking man, it's great. It's a wonderful thing. And the other thing is believe in the importance of who you are and what you can accomplish. It's a beautiful thing. I have a Talmud that wrote a sefer. I was actually shocked that because... You know, I'm still struggling writing a sefer, but he put out a beautiful sefer. It's an amazing thing. It takes a certain amount of confidence to be able to do that. And he's putting out sefer number two. I don't know when it's coming out. But you know what? You know the difference between him and you? It's not he's naturally gifted. It's not. He just believed in the importance of what he wanted to do. And he did it. He's sitting right there in the corner. His name is Nechemya Zolmanowicz. I have a sefer in my office. Gorgeous sefer. But by the way, you could all do it. Every single one of you could do it. It's not, he's not gifted. I mean, he is gifted, but we're all gifted. There's no difference. It's just, you know what he said? He said, I'm going to do this. And it's important. And he did. Baruch Hashem. So now let's look at the people who are lazy. Let's get back to them for a second. Anna anei na li bachar atzel. Answer me one thing, okay? You lazy bachar. Why are you any better than the rest of the world? The sun keeps moving. The moon keeps moving. Everything, they don't stop. They don't take breaks. The ground is being worked hard. They're plowing the ground. And all of its strength. And the earth is doing its job. Hashor, Hasus, V'chol Behema, whether it's the ox, whether it's the horse, every animal, Kula Mechol, everyone's working. V'raka Briois Hamazikois, V'chayes Hatorfois, Heim HaHolchim Batel. The only ones that don't do anything are the ones that are the ones that are bad, the ones that are the ones that are predators, the ones that are like the angry ones, the destructive ones. So when I went on the two of my kids, we went to the safari. So in the safari, you get to see all the animals, and a lot of them are very interesting. You get the zebras always walking around, and all these different animals that are going. The most boring are the lions. They just sit there. That's it. You like expect like a lion, they just sit there. They do nothing. Well, I should change that. Crocodiles are worse. Crocodiles, it's like you can throw things at them. You know, I've tried, like, hitting them, like, you know, give me something. Nothing. The only time a crocodile moves is if it wants to eat something, or else it just sits there, like, dead to the world. A lion's the same way. Lions don't move. They just sit there. They yawn a lot. Lions yawn all the time. The animals that are the most dangerous are the ones that don't move. They're lazy. But the productive animals are moving. They're moving animals. They're working. They're going. That's normal. That's a person that's going to be part of society. Is just move. Let's get going. Why are we any different? Why should you be like one of them and just sit there and do nothing? It's destructive. The measure of civilization is how hard it works. You want to be part of civilization? You work.
It's
one thing that you'll see, which is Chachamenu Zichronon Levracha. They, as bright as many of them were, many of them were brilliant. They all worked very, very hard. As a matter of fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein, so I could show it to you in print, said, we didn't have much nachas from our Iluyim. There's plenty of brilliant people that they didn't amount to much. You know why? Because they never learned how to work hard. They never did it. When you work hard, that's the people who are going to be successful. And there's a book, Lahavdil Elef Abdolos, a book by someone named Malcolm Gladwell. It's called David and Goliath. It's a book about the underdog. And he writes how people that have disabilities are actually more successful. Now, I don't know if you remember, I'm pretty sure I told you, I'm dyslexic. At least that's what they told me when I was a kid. I don't know if it's really true or not, but that's what they told me. I'm dyslexic. Which means I have a hard time reading. Sammy reads each better than me, right, Sam? He does. I heard him by Bahab. He does a better job than I do. I have a hard time reading. But you know something? Even as a little kid, I learned how to work hard because I had a hard time reading. My friends read much better than me. They were able to read. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. It was much harder for me than everyone else. So from when I was a little kid, I worked hard. And I thank Hashem for the craziest thing. When I used to play Little League, so that was the one thing that I was actually pretty good at, was baseball. Hashem always put me on the worst team. Always. My team, pardon me, stunk. They were terrible. The last year that I was zeichet to play baseball, Baruch Hashem, we won the championship. I was able to finally have a little bit of nachas for my baseball team. But I was always on a terrible team, every team that we played on. Somehow, I had to go out and be the underdog every single game. And we would lose, and we would lose. And I was good. But my team was terrible. Somehow I had that mazel. But Kodesh Baruch Hu taught me how to just keep playing hard and keep playing against the odds and keep working and okay, baseball was just one was one way that I ended up channeling it towards everything I do in my life. I try to work hard. I try to be a hard-working person. I was taught as a little kid, and I should be working harder. I know that, and I want to work harder, and I hope I will. But that's part of it, is just understanding everyone works hard, and people that don't work hard are not successful, period. So all of our chachamim that learned, they all were tremendous masmidim and tremendously hard workers. So if we want to be successful, that's what it takes. And people think that if you're going to be good in learning, that means everything's going to go easy and smooth and this and that. It'll be enjoyable because I do love learning, even though I work hard, and a lot of people do, but I love the struggle. That's part of it. It's not because it goes smooth, so therefore I don't, you know, that's why I enjoy it. No, it's hard for me. It's difficult, but I'm enjoying the struggle. I'm enjoying the process. I'm enjoying what I'm becoming because of it. And the hard work is not just in spite of it, it's because of it. That's what makes a person. to what he becomes. So we should all, Beis Hashem, learn to work hard. And if we're struggling and learning, that's okay. It's actually good for us. That's the way we want it to be. And we're going to continue working hard. And Beis Hashem, the hard workers are the ones who are going to be successful. Beis Hashem, continue.